Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word that is in front of us this morning is from the second letter of Paul to the Thessalonian Christians in the third chapter, verses 6 through 12. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ, that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. In the name of Jesus, who gave his blood for our sins, your fellow redeemed. Last Monday, I went out to get the mail like I do every day, except Sunday. And there's always lots of mail, a lot of junk mail. But last Monday there wasn't any mail at all. I'd forgotten that it was Labor Day. I'd forgotten that the postal workers didn't deliver the mail because they weren't on the job. They weren't working. Most Americans celebrate Labor Day that way. I find it hard to do in my work, but many do not work on Labor Day. They have the day off. But guess what? The next day, they're right back at work, at the same old jobs that they've been working at perhaps for years. There are more than 20 million Americans right now who need a job and would love to have one. People go back to work on Labor Day if they have a job because they know it's necessary to have a job. And when they get right down to it, they're glad they have a job in this climate. They'd rather work than play. And so would the Apostle Paul, who speaks to the Thessalonian Christians about the blessings of labor. God chose labor as the way to get what he wants to give us for our bodies. What Paul says in our text about work was nothing new. The first man and woman, Adam and Eve, in the garden were put there to tend the garden, to take care of it. At that time, work was child's play, but then man fell into sin and everything changed. Now what was pleasant became laborious. Now everything changed. The grass needed mowing. The garden needed weeding. Things broke and they needed to be fixed. Man got tired and he wanted to take a nap. But he wasn't able to because there was more work to do. And so it has gone for 6,000 years. We work because we have to. It's the way of life in this failed and fallen world. Our earthly life remains so much about labor that Paul can say, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. We are going to need food and other physical things as long as we live on this earth, and nothing's ever going to change that. From the time that our children are born, they cry to be nourished. And all their lives, they're going to cry to be nourished. They're going to need this food. They'll never be any different in life. Now, we know God provides daily bread freely and abundantly, even to all the wicked, as the scripture tells us. In fact, nothing would grow at all in this world. And we certainly would not be able to do any kind of labor at all if it weren't for God's blessing. Luther said, now listen carefully so you don't misunderstand, God does not want me to achieve success by my work. But his point was, God does not want us to achieve success by our work without his blessing. And yet he does not want me to have success come without work either. He does not want me to sit at home, to loaf, to commit matters to God, and to wait till a fried chicken flies into my mouth. That would be tempting God. End quote. The normal able-bodied person, therefore, works somewhere. He works at an office, he works in a factory, fixes things, sits at a computer desk. There are many things we do. And we make decisions that affect the lives of many other people. And we do all these things because God has enabled us to do them. And instead of complaining about what we do or have to do, we ought to be giving thanks that we have the privilege that we can do, that we can work. So I hope you're thankful for that gift. Are you also doing what you can do for others so that they might be treated fairly, so that they might be blessed as God has blessed you? Since God has chosen labor for our daily bread, he also has told us that we are going to have bosses, and we ourselves are going to be bossed. And he directs how the worker and the boss are to treat one another. God says through Paul in verse 8, "Pay your workers fair wages, for the laborer is worthy of his wages." It's a sin against God and my neighbor if I pay him the lowest wages possible just because I'm the boss. Or I want to make money for the stockholders at the expense of the laborers. That's a sin. It's a sin also if I pay the worker the lowest possible wage with the thought in my mind that the labor market is so great. There's so many people out there that are trying to find jobs that I can easily lose this fellow and I'll get another fellow for $5 an hour. Instead of paying according to what the worker is doing, according to the value of his work. These are sins. They're committed against the people day after day in this world. On the other hand, what about the responsibility of the Christian worker through the to the person who has hired him? He has a responsibility. A few verses after our text, in this same letter to Timothy, Paul writes, "For the sake of the Christian name and reputation, let the servant show honor to his master." Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 6. You know what that means. It means that we are to work for the as hard for the bad boss as we do for the good boss. We're to work as hard for those we don't like as those whom we like. It's not about the boss, it's about who we are in Christ. It's about what God has given us to do, our called labor. We're to show him honor by doing the very best work we are able to do. The last thing we want for people to say of us as the bearers of Christ's name is, "Look at that lazy, good-for-nothing Christian. Why, he never carries his own weight. He may go to church on Sunday, but he's always looking for other people to do his work for him." We don't want to be known like that. Since our God chooses for us whatever it is we work at as the means for us getting our daily bread, we ought to apply ourselves with all diligence. We ought to work as hard as we can, as faithfully as we can, at whatever it may be. And let us give thanks to God daily that we can do for him, to the glory of his name, that we are able to labor in our Lord's kingdom. Secondly, Paul says labor is not only a good thing for us as individuals, it's a good thing for the church, for the body of Christians. Do we always control our thoughts and guard our tongues when it comes to the work of others? Not always. We can be very critical. What we ought to be doing is thinking only about what our responsibility is and going at it with all of our strength and not looking over our shoulder at what someone else is not doing for the Lord. There's plenty to do in every calling of the Christian life and in each congregation of believers. Paul said to the Thessalonians that he worked night and day for their good. I wish I could say that about myself. I can't. I don't work night and day.
a lot of hours, but not like Paul did. We all ought to be able to say that we all work night and day for one another. That ought to be our goal in the church,
as often as we fail. Are we doing what we can for the glory of our great Savior, who did all that he could for us? Think about Isaiah 53, for instance. Jesus, we are told, regarded his labors for us as a blessing to himself. Did you know that? One of the more remarkable passages of Isaiah 53 says that he would see the labors of his soul and be satisfied. Now think about that. We encourage one another on Saturdays when we see the slow progress we make over here. That's the labor of our bodies. And some guys actually hurt because they work so hard out there. That's one reason. That's the work of the body. Are we satisfied? Sure we are. We know there's more to be done, but we're satisfied. Jesus, we are told, would see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. What Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Christ came is the suffering of the very soul of Christ for our sins. His death, the death of hell on the cross for us. Jesus saw what that would be, including all the pain and the suffering for you and me, and he was satisfied. Remarkable. But he's the one to whom we are to look. Now the blessing of labor, that's especially hard labor, is passed over by the world. The world doesn't think the way the Christian ought to think or the way Jesus thought. You know how it goes in conversations. The world says, happy are those who don't have to work anymore, who are retired. Mostly tired, but retired. They're not going to get new tires to keep going. They're going to just take it easy. And the world says, wow, I'm working for that when I can do nothing or just sit around. And a lot of people waste their retirement that way. They don't serve others, just themselves. Or how about happy are those who have the means to live without working at all. A lot of people in our society think that way. The best thing in life is to have no job at all and let the government provide for me. But people feel that way. Luther wrote that this praise of work should be inscribed on all tools and on the forehead and on the face that sweats from its labors. We should have this inscribed. What? That our God delights in our labor and he wants to bless us through our labor. We need to come up with a formula and put that on our tools and on our foreheads. God wants to bless me through the labor that he desires for me to do. Now the lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer are over, and the holiday from labor is over, and the children are back in school, and the old grind begins again. Same old, same old. Thank God for the privilege and the ability to work. Begin each day then with the prayer that your strong and loving Savior is going to bless your work to his glory and to your blessing. Think about your daily routine and your work on the job, whether it's at home, whether it's doing dishes, if you still do that, or whether it's ironing, or whether it's out there fixing a machine, tilling the ground, whatever it is you do. Think about it in the light of the truth expressed by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Following this light, all of your labors will be seen in the light of Jesus Christ, and there won't be any darkness in your down days. You're going to be glad to get back to work. You're going to be glad to be putting your hands and your minds and your talents to do the things that God has chosen you to do and prepared you to do.
We Christians never need to feel useless. The futility and the anxiety of this world sweeps over those who have nothing to do, who twiddle their thumbs and wonder when their next meal is coming, who worry for their family, who can find no job, but who do not understand at all the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They are depressed, some are idle and lazy. But this should not trouble us. We know that we work for our daily bread. And we know that we work in order to serve others. And even when we can't find the job that we want, we will work. Because that's the Lord's will. And we want to serve our Savior who served us. By God's grace, then, let us look forward to the time when we hear those blessed words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you faithful and ruler over many things. You enter the joy of the Lord. Matthew 25:21. Amen. Now may this peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and thoughts from every anxiety as you remember the Lord Jesus Christ and his labors for you. Amen.